Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I praise the Lord. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us be glad and rejoice in it. Well, what the Lord has us focusing on this week are the four living creatures of Ezekiel, as described in that first chapter. And I believe, as we look at Scripture, that they are literal descriptions of living beings before the throne of God, such as we see in the book of Revelation, the fourth chapter. It's very clearly a picture of the same kind of living creatures that Ezekiel saw in that first chapter that carried about the Lord Almighty and His throne. They're always associated with the very presence of God. And I was suggesting that not only they're literal creatures, but there's a symbolic resemblance to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's some fascinating parallels that I'd like to share with you. And we just started looking on yesterday's broadcast that their origin is similar. Of course, they are created beings by Almighty God. And also, and not only we are the sheep of His pasture, the people of His hand, but we also, the church, as a type of the body of Christ, had a beginning. She was birthed out of cloud and fire, just like it says the living creatures came out of the midst of a whirlwind and a great cloud and a fire, just like the church on the day of Pentecost. Now, what are some other similarities to make them as a symbolic representation of the body of Christ? Well, their character. They are living creatures. Literally, it could be translated living ones. They're not earthly, they're not dying ones, but they're living ones who have been made alive in Christ Jesus. Nothing, what does John say? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and nothing it was created that was not created by Him. He is the Word that spoke forth the universe and the planets and the stars and every living creature, the world and the fullness thereof. And so this is the prominent characteristic that the prophet Ezekiel gives us, that they are living. And this word is used over and over again in their connection. Their life is represented as most closely associated with the source of all life, the living God. Don't you love that? That makes me think of what Jesus told the Pharisees. You know, He's not a God of the dead, but a God of the living. He is the God of Moses, of Abraham. He's not a God of the dead, but of the living. And so, beloved, if you've accepted Jesus Christ into your heart, into your life as Lord and Savior, we are the living ones whose life has been made akin to God's. We are partakers of His divine nature and heirs of eternal life. Praise God, we're joint heirs with Jesus Christ. What a wonderful, wonderful inheritance we have. But we've been translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. Once we were dead, and we may have obviously had physical life, but our spirit man, the spirit, was dead. And it's only when we're born again. That's why Jesus used those words, that terminology, because literally, we are born into life. Before that, we're dead. And so they are living ones, and we are literally living ones. Now, what about their appearance? And you're going to say, oh, Sister Judith, you're going to really have to you're going to have to work on that one. Well, it said that these four creatures who appeared from out of the cloud and fire, they were human in general form, but they had four wings and four faces. Verse 5 of that first chapter says they had the likeness of a man. And beloved, Jesus had John the Baptist to declare his coming, prepare ye the way of the Lord. But now, beloved, we're living in the very end of days, and he no longer has one man or one ministry proclaiming that Jesus is coming again, but he has called the body of Christ, many, many members throughout the earth, fitly framed together. Each one has been selected by the Holy Spirit and put in our own unique and particular place in the body of Christ that no one else can fulfill. There's no competition, there's no striving, but just like a human body, your human body, there's no fight or strife or competition between your fingers, your hands, your feet. It's all one, right? You love every part of yourself. Well, the Lord Jesus, who is the head, loves every part of his body. And so we, the church, were members of Christ's body, and we're created after the image of the Son of God, created in righteousness and true holiness. The church is in the likeness of the man, Christ Jesus. And so the faces that are found on the living creatures are symbolic. What's the first one? Well, it was the face of a man. And of course, as the children of God, we are made in the very image of God. The face of a man represents intelligence, wisdom, as well as reverence in worship. Now, the face of a lion. Well, you might have already gone there. A lion is representative of courage and strength. And so we've been given the face of a lion for courage and strength in battle. In fact, Proverbs says the righteous are as bold as a lion. Now, what's the third face? It's the face of an ox. And like an ox who is used for the service of man, for plowing up, furrowing the earth, and they're used as a beast of burden. That's representative for humility and patience and perseverance in service. That we have been called, the greatest among us shall be as a servant of all. And what's that face of an eagle? Well, that represents us in the fact that we can rise above the things of the earth. That represents clear vision as well as heavenly divine power in our testimony. That marvelous passage of scripture, those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, walk and not faint. Praise God. And just like the centurion eagle, from time to time I share that with partners. In fact, if you like it, I'll send you a copy about the eagles that live to be about 100 years old. They live longer than their counterparts because God has created them for a purpose. And just like we have been created we're already seated in heavenly places, we are able to impact not only the lives of those around us, but the world in which we live in. Now, let me just say, I know there are some in the body of Christ ministries that feel, and I've heard it literally declared, that our role, our job, is to bring heaven to earth. And beloved, I don't preach kingdom now. I don't believe the kingdom of God will be set up until Jesus comes, until the king comes. But Jesus said the kingdom is within you. And are we to influence others? Are we to seek after positions of significance in politics and medicine and art? Of course, we want to be light and salt in the earth. A city set on a hill isn't hid. And so God has called us to be representative of the truth of, to share the good news, the truth of the gospel, that there's only one way, and Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. However, we have been called, I believe our calling is to prepare the way of the Lord. You and I, beloved, every single one of us have a calling, have a purpose, and that is to prepare our hearts for the Lord and to be used with our witness, with our testimony, and if necessary, use words, that there is a God in heaven, and that he is a righteous and a holy God, that those who continue to spurn his great salvation offered in the Lord Jesus Christ will suffer the wrath of God, and those who rebel and refuse his love and his kindness, that their portion will be in a place where God never ordained man to be, and that is in hell, in the fires of brimstone that will burn forever. And so, beloved, it's a serious thing. We need to count the cost. We need to look at the seriousness of the hour in which we're living. We have been called, even as these living creatures, we have a face of an ox, face of an eagle, if you will, face of a man, and the face of a lion. So, beloved, these characteristics symbolized by the four faces represent qualities of service: intellect, strength, humility, patience, and vision. Added to these were four wings. Now, what can that mean? What can that represent? Well, it denotes power and responsiveness to obey the divine commission. In other words, the ability, the efficiency to be able to respond to the will of God. It says, isn't this beautiful? With two, they covered their bodies. What does that mean? Well, not only were they instant in service, but they were able to hide themselves or to keep themselves out of sight. What does that suggest to you? Is there a scripture that comes to mind? Well, how about John 3:30? John the Baptist said, "He must increase," referring to Jesus, "but I must decrease." Beloved, we want to be hid behind Jesus. And also, we note that their wings were joined. What does that mean? Well, that denotes unity in service. We are members fitly framed together of the body of Christ, and there's no, as I mentioned, competition, but there's a beautiful harmony and unity when we allow the Holy Spirit to direct our attitudes, our thoughts, as well as our actions. Praise God. Well, my time again has just flown. I've just so enjoyed sharing this message with you. I pray that you're being blessed and encouraged and inspired by it. There's more to come, so I invite you to tune in tomorrow at this same time. Thank you for listening, and I so appreciate your prayer support as well as your financial gifts. God bless you. And until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass. Say, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
Well, this has been the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Sister Glass. Thank you for spending time with us. We pray it's been a time of ministry and encouragement for you. If you would like to write to Sister Glass, there are a couple of ways you can do so. You can write and address your envelope to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code, or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop Sister Glass an email. Again, write to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho, 83606, or send her an email through our website, unveiledchrist.org. And please remember that your prayers and tax-deductible support allow this ministry to continue on this station. Until next time, God bless. Oh,